I'd like to invite you to look in your bulletin and take out the little handout sheet that we might work on it as we go through. Pastor Dan has been leading the congregation through a study of the book of Proverbs and the wisdom that can be found there. And this psalm that I'd like to explore with you today, Psalm 107, and that's on page 506 if you have one of those pew Bibles, is a psalm that brings to us a perspective on wisdom that I'd like to explore with you. I'd like you to see it this morning. And it's maybe a little different than what you've thought before. You know, the rabbis in teaching their disciples have a question that they ask, which is greater, the fear of God or the love of God? And like a rabbi would answer, yes. Truly, the fear of God is to love Him, and to truly love Him is to fear Him. So how do we love Him? Well, it's to discover His love for us. I'd like for you to look with me at Psalm 107 and the last verse of it. Psalm 107, 43. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Consider. That is, apply your mind to it. The beginning of the Psalm 107, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south. In other words, this great steadfast love of the Lord is being commended to us as something to think on, to consider, in order for us to have wisdom. Wisdom in life. It's something to be considered, pondered, rolled over in your mind when you're trying to figure things out. Where do you take your mind? We can either take it to how we feel, or we can take it to what we know God has revealed in His Word. I think it was Paul Tripp that said, we are all philosophers. We're always trying to make sense of life and events. And we're all archaeologists and anthropologists digging through the rubble of life and trying to understand how life works. Well, in Psalm 107, the steadfast love of God is the place where we take our minds for wisdom. The steadfast love of God. And this psalm promises that if we'll do this, we'll be wise. We'll have wisdom. We'll be able to understand and process things. Now, in this psalm, it begins with a general admonition. We have that first there on your sheet. A general admonition, kind of an instruction to everyone. And then we have four situations. And then we have, at the end of the psalm, a general application. So we start with this general admonition that I just read. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble. Now, trouble there, it's the idea, well, let the redeemed say so. Let those who have been spared trouble or brought out of trouble, let them tell their story like the stones of remembrance here. That the Lord has redeemed from trouble, the hand of the foe, the hand of the enemy. And this is a general description of what we're going to see in the four situations that follow. Trouble. The hand of the foe, the hand of the enemy. Now, we all have enemies. We all have great enemies. We have the enemy of the enemy, who is Satan. It's interesting, in the book of Job, he's referred to as the Satan, the adversary, the one who opposes the soul of man. He's the enemy. We have him. I find my worst enemy is myself. You know, the things that I say or the things that I do, and I think, why did I say that? So, or why did I do that? I know better. I mean, I am my own worst enemy. So we've got the enemy, and then we've got our own selves as an enemy. And then we have the world and all that the world has in it as our enemy. We have three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. We have trouble. Okay, what are we going to do about it? So, there are four situations. They're unique. They're fascinating. They're delightful to think about. The scripture is the best literature. It's the best stories. It's the best drama. We have four stories in this psalm. And it could be that in these four stories, we have individuals that describe all individuals. Or we could have these four stories describe the individual in four different seasons in life. Either way, we have in these stories several things are common. Now, I put down here number one, situation, and then cause. So as I'm reading the situation, I want you to ask yourself the question, why are these people in this situation? So that's the cause. There's a cause for each of the four situations, and that's an important part of this whole presentation, this whole idea that the psalmist is giving to us. Situation number one. In the first three verses in the general admonition, it says the Lord has gathered in people from the east and the west and north and south. In the ESV, it says some wandered. In the other versions, it'll say they, but some, they, it's not very specific. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. He let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. For He satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul He fills with good things. The lost. Situation one. The wanderer. The lost one. Why was he lost? Don't know. No cause assigned. We don't know why he was lost or how he was lost or how he found himself to be in the middle of this wandering desert waste place. It just places him there. And in his extremity, he is alone. He is hungry. He is thirsty. For those of you who have grown up in Arizona, and maybe some of you have hiked, I remember as a Boy Scout, we did a lot of hiking in the Superstition Mountains. And we had some drill sergeants as Boy Scout leaders. And wow, you can get really thirsty in the desert. Hungry and thirsty and lost. Lost. Their soul fainting. They're looking for a city. They're looking for a city to dwell in. They have no rest. They have no community. They have no food. They have no protection. They are lost. This is very important. I know we use the term saved and lost in a very general way, and I remember some political campaigns years ago that used saved and born again and all that. And it was all seemed to be quite hypocritical. Without Christ, you are lost. And this situation is one who is lost, hungry, thirsty, seeking a city, seeking fulfillment, seeking community, seeking what we all seek. And so in the extremity, at the point of extremity, he cried out to the Lord. They cried out to the Lord. In this psalm, we have four situations. In all four of them, they cried out to the Lord. Verse 6 and 13 and 19 and 28. The situation brings them to extremity. In their extremity, they cry out to the Lord. And he heard them. This is not just a, you know, casual reading of your Bible and 5 minutes of distracted prayer in the morning. This is crying out for help. This is raising a cry. Desperate. And it says, the demonstration or the point of the passage, each of the situations, is that they are expressions of the great steadfast love of the Lord. So when they cried, he, that is the Lord, delivered them and led them. Now this, I'd like to make a very important point right here at the beginning. Each of these situations are different crises. This guy's lost. Next one's different. The next one's different. The next one's different. This guy is lost. He's an extreme. God, I need you to help me here. He's looking for a city. But the first thing he gets is not a city. First, he gets the Lord. Did he need a city? Yeah. But that's not what he really needed. It's the Lord who came, the Lord who led. They needed the Lord more than a city. They needed the Lord more than a job. They needed the Lord more than a husband, more than a wife, more than community, more than healing. They needed the Lord. And the important question to ask in all of our souls, every day, is Christ enough? If you feel lost and you're just scrambling out there in life right now, it's not a new job that's going to help you. You need Christ. And Christ is enough. The Lord came. Christ is enough. And the Lord led them by a straight way until they reached the city. There's two quotes. I'm not sure where these come from. I think the first one comes from Oswald Chambers and the second one from A.W. Tozer. You might want the Lord, but if you want something more, you will have what you want most. And then another quote, you are as close to the Lord as you want to be. What are you after? Now this guy's lost, hungry, tired, thirsty. He thinks he needs a city, but he needs the Lord to lead him to that city. And the Lord does. The Lord leads him by a straight way until he's reached the city. He satisfies the longing soul and filled them with good things. And then it says for us in verse 8, Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love. In the King James, it says, oh, that men would thank the Lord. Oh, there's not a recent translation that puts the O in there. I like the O. Oh, why is it there? It's a more impassioned plea. Oh, that men would thank the Lord for his steadfast love and his wonderful works to the children of man. His wonderful works, satisfying the longing soul. There's a couple of things that I want to point out right here. First of all, there is no guilt assigned. We don't know how they came to be wanderers or lost. The second thing is that the passage begins with the word some, or they, which is very nondescript. Some wandered, they wandered. Who was the steadfast love in this section given to? It was given to them. They. Some. The one who in extremity cried out. To the children of men, not the children of Israel. This opens this wide. The love of the Lord extended to them. I'd like you, as we move through here, that as we're looking at the steadfast love of God, there's so many ways to process this and think about it and remember it and consider it. One way is to consider the lost crying out to the Lord, being loved by God. And the love of God, the character of God, the name of God, is so expressive. There's one Old Testament name for God, Jehovah Shema. It means either God is present with us, or it can mean God is enough. Enough. So for the lost person crying out, he's enough. With regard to this also, the great teachings in the New Testament about Jesus. We have Jesus telling us a story about the sheep without a shepherd, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. He's the bread of life. He's the living water. Jesus is the answer to this lost person's need. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. So whether we're looking at God the Father or God the Son or God the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I'm going to send to you a comforter. Another comforter just like me. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God is the one who has this steadfast love for the children of men. Are you lost? Today's the day to cry out. God, save me. Save me. I'm at my extremity here. Save me. And God will save you. And then you can thank him for his steadfast love. That's situation number one. Let's move on to situation number two, starting in verse 10. Again, look for the cause. What's the cause? Verse 10. Some sat in darkness in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. So we had the lost, situation number two. Now, you know what that means when a phone rings and I'm preaching? I'm about something to say something very important. Okay. I'll never forget. I was preaching down somewhere in the Caribbean. This really happened, no kidding. Little church, there's about 25 people in this little bitty church. I forget what island it was. And there was a lady sitting on the front row. There's a door right here. Her phone rang, and she answered it. Hello? No, I'm in church. I can't come. Nope, sorry. Hung up. 5 minutes later, her phone rang again. I told you I can't come home right now. Then she got up and walked out and stood right in the door and carried on this whole conversation. Well, you know, there you go. Yeah. Anyway, situation number two. Prisoners in darkness. Now, why are they in their prison? It says there, a couple verses down, verse 11, they rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Situation number one, we don't know why the guy was in a situation. Situation number two, we do. He spurned the counsel of the Most High. He rebelled against the words of God. He didn't listen. He went his own way. He thought he knew better than God. He thought, well, you know, I can handle this. I know others can't handle this, but I can handle this. I can do this. He couldn't do it. You can't sin and get away with it. So his sin put him in prison. His sin put him in this darkness. It's a darkness in the shadow of death. It's affliction. We're not talking about some nice federal prison with a golf course. You know, really, this kind of a prison cell has no light. It's a hole. He's in prison. And he's there because he turned away from what God told him to do. He cried out to the Lord, and the Lord delivered him from his distress. Let them, verse 15, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love. Cause or no cause? Did he deserve it? Yeah. What's God like? God loves him. Will God forgive him? Yeah. What does he need to do? He needs to cry out, just like the other guy. Cry out. And God broke the bonds of the doors of bronze and the bars of iron. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love. Now remember, we're trying to understand the steadfast love of God so that we can think on that and be wise. So in this situation, this guy who deserved to be here, he deserved to rot in that cell, he cries out and God delivers him. Wow, that's steadfast love. That's steadfast love. Looking at the names of God, God the Father, the Old Testament, one of God's names is Jehovah Nissi, or Jehovah our banner, or Jehovah our victory. It's the Lord. Jesus set the captives free. We use the word saved throughout the New Testament. The passage we read from Colossians this morning, we are delivered from darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his dear Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And then the Comforter sets us free from our sin. Situation number three. Situation number three begins there in verse 17. Some, like they, them, some were fools through their sinful ways because of their iniquities, suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food. They drew near to the gates of death. They cried to the Lord in their trouble. Now, in this situation, in the first one, there's no cause mentioned. The second one, the cause is mentioned two verses in. This one, the cause is mentioned in the first verse. And I wonder if the Lord, the psalmist, the Holy Spirit inspiring this is saying, let's look at degrees of things here. No mention of sin, mention of sin, first mention of sin. Let's talk about that first. Now, what does this sin bring? Well, first it calls them fools. That's bad. But it caused affliction. They loathed any kind of food. They drew near the gates of death. What are we talking about here? Depression. Not all depression comes from sin. This depression did. Do you know anybody that's always talking about death? They just can't, you know, they get up in the morning, they just don't want to eat. It's depression. Where did it come from? Their sinful ways. Their sinful ways brought them to this condition. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And he said to them, forget it. I don't work with depressed people. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he sent his word, and he healed them. He delivered them from their distress. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love and the wondrous works to the children of men. We got the lost guy. I don't know why he's lost. He cries out, God delivers him. We got the prisoner. He's in jail, but he's in prison because of the bad things he's done. He cries out to the Lord. Lord delivers him. We have this depressed person. They cry out to the Lord, and the Lord delivers them. In each case, it's the expression, it's the way God's love comes to them. How God's love is manifested in their lives. And he sets them free. He delivers them with his word. Such a beautiful thing. God the Father is known in the Old Testament as Jehovah Rapha, or Jehovah our healer. Jesus is the word. Hebrews 1 says that Jesus is the final word. Jesus healed us from our sin by his death on the cross, and by his stripes you are healed. This is God. This is not one thing. This isn't what just one psalm. This is, I'm telling you about God. And where to take your mind? Where to take your mind when you're trying to figure stuff out? Is it your fault? Yeah. Take your mind there. Is it not your fault? Take your mind there. Is it something you did that's really, really, really bad? Take your mind there. It's God. His loving kindness, his steadfast loving kindness. We have the fourth situation, and that begins in verse 23. The fourth situation is the storm. Merchants on the sea, or the storm. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind and lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven and went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. They cried. Any cause mentioned? Sin on their part? Despising the Lord? No. These are guys in life. These happen to be merchants, seamen. They're just doing their job. They're out on the sea. They're taking ships from somewhere to somewhere across the Mediterranean, probably. And they've done this before. This is what they do. This is what they know. They're seamen. They're merchant marines. This is what they do. And they believe in God. They believe that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, the mountains and the sea. And they're out there on the sea, and they see this storm coming. And at first they say, wow, look at God's glory. Isn't that storm majestic? Isn't God awesome in his power to control and move us along with his wind? And isn't God awesome? Look at what God's doing here. Then it gets closer and closer and closer. And pretty soon this storm has just swallowed them up. A couple years ago, we were on Lake Pleasant with a little family fish ski boat that we have. And we've used this boat for 30 years. I mean, we've had it a long time. And we've been boating on these lakes for a long time. This very thing happened to us. We had Linda and I in the boat, and we had our grandbaby and daughter and son-in-law. There's five of us in the boat. And we're there in the middle of Lake Pleasant, and I look to the north, and I see this cool-looking thundercloud anvil thing growing there, and that's so beautiful. And you know, storms rarely in Phoenix come from the north and go south. Usually they're coming in from the west, or the south and the west, and come up that way. So, you know, I'm not thinking much about it. And so we turn around, we're swimming, we're doing other things, and pretty soon I looked. That storm was right on the north edge of that lake and coming our way. I turned the boat around. We're headed for the boat launch. Before we could get to the boat launch, and that's only like 2 miles. I mean, it's not that far. There were waves on Lake Pleasant that were as big as that piano. It was scary. And we had the infant. I mean, if it hadn't been for the infant, let the boat go, you know. But the infant just, it was petrifying. These men, these merchants, these men who know the sea, they know God brings the storm. God commanded, verse 25. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. This is really fascinating. Your Bibles will probably have a footnote there at the end of verse 27. The idea is that all of their wisdom was swallowed up. It's a beautiful metaphor for a guy in a storm. All of their wisdom, all that they knew about life, all that they knew about being merchant marines, it was all swallowed up. And they cried. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still. And the waves of the sea were hushed, and they were glad that the waters were quiet. He brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. God the Father is known as Jehovah Shalom. The Lord, our peace. Jesus is famous for the great miracle in the Sea of Galilee. And when he stilled the storm on the Sea of Galilee, his disciples said, "What kind of man is this?" That famous hymn that we sing, "The winds and the waves obey him." Can you take the loving kindness of the Lord listed in these four situations, can you take that and make that what you think about? If you can, you will be wise. The passage ends with a general application from verse 33 down to the end. He turns the rivers into a desert, springs of water into a dry ground. In this section, basically, it's saying the Lord turns things around. If you sin, you won't get away with it. If you cry out, God can turn things around. Therefore, consider God's loving kindness and be wise. Now maybe this morning there's somebody here that's in the situation of feeling lost or imprisoned or depressed or just in some storm you can't figure out. The same instruction is given to all four. In your extremity, cry out, and you will find the loving kindness of the Lord. Now, I want to use an object lesson, but I don't want anybody to be offended by it. Kids usually like object lessons. Sometimes adults are offended, but I don't want anybody to be offended. I would like you to consider the loving kindness of the Lord, that truth. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The loving kindness of the Lord. I'd like you to think about it being a lens through which you view all of life. Or a grid. Or a backdrop on the stage of your life. The loving kindness of the Lord and what you're going through right now is being played out on this stage, and the loving kindness of the Lord is the backdrop. I want you to remember this. Psalmist says, if you would be wise if you would consider the steadfast loving kindness of the Lord. So what I have is a little object lesson. I'd like you to think about it this way. Pretend that on these lenses, it says, on the inside, it says, God's great loving kindness for you. Jehovah Shalom. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord. And he loved the prisoner, and he loved the lost guy, and he loved the depressed guy, and he loved the sailor that was out to sea. And when they cried, God's love, God heard them, and in God's love, he delivered them. Okay, so all that on the backside, and then put it on. Look at life through the loving kindness of God. That'll be our wisdom. Now, some of us, some of you, may be in extremity today. And I want to just exhort you, you can cry out, God, I need you. I don't know whether I've messed up or somebody else has messed up. I don't know how I've gotten in this situation. God, I need you. And when you cry out, does he hear? Yeah. He hears lost people. He hears prisoners. He hears the depressed people. And he hears the guy that's just swallowed in the storm. He'll hear you. Because that's what he's like. That's what he's like. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are humbled by your word. And Lord, you love the children of men. And that's us, Lord. Lord, we're messed up. We need your help. We cry out to you today. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that each one of us could look at your great steadfast love. Anchor our faith in your steadfast love. Cry out to you. And then, Lord, report back to the body about the great things that you have done. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.